Hello and good morning and welcome to an early edition of my weekly Facebook Livecast. I'm Jamie from Stonemaier Games, and usually I do this at 10 a.m. St. Louis time. But today is a little different for reasons I'll explain in a second. I'm starting this around 9:25. I'll go until around 10 or until I get a phone call because the AC at my home office has been broken the last 2 days and we have a repairman hopefully coming to fix it in the next, I don't know, 30, 35, 40 minutes. So I really want to get that fixed. And so I thought I'd jump in now. It just happened to be that he's coming right when I would normally start the live cast. So I figured I'd do it early so people who show up at 10 o'clock can have something to watch. And if maybe this is a time where you normally can't join the live cast, so you can join me unexpectedly today. If you're new to this, I discuss random topics. I share Stonemaier Games news, and I'm happy to answer any question you have in the comments. Chance, I see Chance in the comments says that it's hot in St. Louis, and yeah, it was 90 degrees in our home yesterday, our condo here. Very, very hot. And this, oddly enough, this happened last year. I moved last year, but it happened last year at my old place too, right at the same time. In the heat of summer, my AC broke. But it seems hotter this time. It's very, very hot. The cats are doing okay with it, but they've mostly just been laying about. So anyway, I'm excited to get that fixed. This will end up cutting off pretty quick at a certain point, so I'll try to get all your questions in. But I do have also a few topics to discuss today. Most notably, that Pendulum, the reviews are starting to go live today. We send advanced copies to a number of different reviewers. I think there are 10 different actual reviewers that got advanced copies for Pendulum. And I asked them not to post reviews until today, July 29th, so that they would have plenty of time to play the game, not feel rushed, not feel like they needed to be the first out of the gate to get their review on YouTube or on their podcast or on their blog. And so it gives them plenty of time to do that. And so today is the first day that they were allowed to post a review. This is a week before the pre-order. So you have plenty of time to look at those reviews and get unbiased opinions about whether or not Pendulum is a good fit for you. I happened to play Pendulum's untimed version with Megan this past weekend. We played a two-player game. Megan won by a fairly dominant number of points, but I still also triggered the potential for the win condition. And we had a great time. We really, really loved the untimed version. I hadn't played it since the prototype. I hadn't played the final version with the untimed mode, and it worked really well. It still had that time optimization feel that I love from Tsolkin, and it had that exact feel in the untimed version of Pendulum. Chris says that his son found Biddy and Walter in Tapestry and was super excited to be the one to find the Tapestry card. Yeah, we have Easter eggs of my cats, Biddy and Walter, that I mentioned in many of our games, including in Tapestry. I still haven't found them in Pendulum. I can't remember if I actually put them in Pendulum, but I'm glad, Chris, that your son found it there. Connor says, Boxer Brief Commando. I am a Boxer Brief guy. Today I'm doing something I rarely do, which is wear shorts. I almost always wear jeans, but it is just too hot without the air conditioning here to wear jeans today. Josh says that he's been introducing a lot of people to Wingspan and Scythe lately. We've been inside enjoying the AC. Well, lucky you, Josh, and thank you for sharing our games with other people. I really appreciate that. Chad says, I threw his whole morning off by getting on here early. Keith says, chocolate of the day. I have been eating, I've torn off the brand here, but it's Mood Creamy Milk Chocolate here, based on what I have left of it. I believe the brand is Elephant. I think it's Elephant something. Really, really good milk chocolate. One of my favorite milk chocolates, 48%. That's like my sweet spot for milk chocolate. So I would say that's my chocolate of the day. It is melting a little bit in this heat, but it's still delicious. Let's see. Ben says that we should be using the term Ricardo's and Mortimer's for Rick and Morty for the tokens in Pendulum, because they kind of look like Rick and Morty from the show. Cody says, do I own or rent? We own. We both, Megan and I, co-own the condo. I too am hoping that, I'm really hoping the repairman actually fixes it today and doesn't just say, hey, we need to order this part that'll take 3 weeks to arrive. Because it's rough. 90 degrees was too hot yesterday to be inside here. John says he's really excited for Pendulum. It will be a roaring success. I hope so, John. He says, are there any expansions planned? Currently, no. We typically don't start thinking about expansions until we see if people enjoy the game as much as we hope they would. And so it'll kind of depend on what the reception is for Pendulum, what people think of it, and how people receive it. So Travis, I'm sure, has some ideas, especially for other asymmetric characters that he could add to the game, but no, we haven't really explored the expansion possibilities yet. Socrates says, do I prefer the timed or untimed version of Pendulum? I would say the timed version is my preference. I mean, that's the core of the game, using those timers, flipping them around, and just ha having there's this you get into this flow of the game that feels really good, and it speeds by. I'm not someone that has analysis paralysis, and when I do, I like to check myself and avoid it. And so Pendulum definitely avoids that in the timed version. But the untimed version really was very satisfying, especially in a two-player game, when even if one of us had a moment of needing extra time to think through our action, it was still turnless, and so we still were very much in the flow of the game in the untimed version. I would recommend, as we recommend in the rules in Pendulum, that you play the untimed version first, or at least for a round or two, to feel what that flow is like before you start using the timers. Jacob has a design publishing question. He says, when you look at a game to sign, to publish, do you prefer the game to be lighter on theme or for a possible change of theme? Or does a prototype that has a really th heavy theme still have interest to you? I definitely prefer when a game has been designed with the theme in mind, and where the mechanisms do awesome things for the theme, and where the theme does awesome things for the mechanisms. I love to see that in the core game itself. It's very rare that we would change the theme of a design. So I love when someone captures my imagination, both with the mechanisms and the theme that they submit to us. Nathan says he picked up Tapestry recently and is loving it so far. That's great to hear, Nathan. Zach says, do I work with shoes on or barefoot? Usually I work with socks on, because there's cat litter that ends up all over our wood floors here. But over the last couple days, I've been barefoot just to stay as cool as possible. Yeah. Michael says, I have a friend who is a graphic designer and wants to get involved with board game design. I think you may have meant board game design, but if you meant board game design too, there's some great board games out there, including Wingspan. Any tips on getting introduced into the industry? Yeah, Michael, that's a good question. So I have some posts about that. There's a post I wrote about how to flatter your way into a new industry, how to volunteer your way into a new industry. Those are two ways to do it. I would say one of the best ways that a graphic designer can get noticed in the industry is to. Like, this is one of my random suggestions that I've seen a few people try. But basically, if he has a game that he loves, but he thinks the graphic design could use a little work, maybe on a notable element of the game, maybe a card, maybe the box, he could redesign it based on how he would design it as a graphic designer and post it just to share and share his love for the game and show that he was loved it so much that he was willing to spend time on it to redesign that element of the game and share it in one of the many Facebook groups that publishers and game designers hang out in and artists hang out in. I think that's a fun way to get noticed and a fun kind of unobtrusive way to get noticed by game publishers. Nick says, can we get a kid's version of Wingspan, please? My kids love the game, but are still a little young for the full game experience. You know, it's not in the works, Nick. A few people have asked for this. My hesitation has been that part of the strength of Wingspan has been that the text on the cards adds to a lot of the variation and the theme and the uniqueness of each of the many cards. If we replace that with, like, I picture a younger version replacing that text with a few simple icons that kids could understand. They wouldn't need to read that text, and I think that might take away a lot from the game. But the core of the actions of Wingspan are so simple that it might be possible. It might be something that we could explore someday. Kyle says, any news on Libertalia? So yeah, I posted about how much I love Libertalia the other day, both in terms of my pirate themed games, and I might have done a video about it for the first time. It might have just been the pirate themed games, but I mentioned in that video that I thought, randomly I'd check to see if the rights for Libertalia were available, and they are currently controlled by Asmodee. Yeah. Pete says, any update on the time frame for the Scythe consolidated rulebook? Yeah, I actually updated our website page for this the other day, and it is looking like we will start accepting pre-orders for it on, or the Spiral Bound version for it on August 5th, alongside with Pendulum. So they're arriving at the same time. So I figure if you're ordering Pendulum, you might, and you want the rule book, why not consolidate shipping for the two of them? Allie says inside, the abilities of Togawa are anglicized Japanese words. What does toka mean? Yeah, that's called Romaji. That's the style of writing Japanese in English words. Toka, I forget what it means. I did study Japanese for many years, but when I created those words, I talked to a Japanese ambassador of Stonemaier Games to help pick those words. And so I can't remember what that exact word means. Froylan says, have I considered all the meeple source birds, how all the wingspan birds fit into the wingspan box? Yeah, two things that I can branch off from this question for then. One is Meeple Source just launched their campaign for special meeples for Wingspan and Pendulum today. Meeple Source operates completely independently from Stonemaier Games for stuff like this, but I love what they do. I'm pretty good friends with Cynthia and Chris at this point, and so I want to support them. And so if you are interested in enhancing your copy of Wingspan with some birds that might appear in the new Oceania expansion, feel free to check out their Kickstarter. It's live right now. As for the fit, Ferlin might be referring to the Wingspan big box that I started discussing in the Wingspan Facebook group last week. I realized after playing the pre-production copy for the Oceania expansion recently that it would really help to maybe move forward with the big box, even though we don't know what's in all the future expansions. So I would design the box around the idea that it would fit a bunch, it would be modular, it would fit a bunch of different stuff, even in the future that we're going to make, even though we don't know what that stuff is right now. And so, yes, one of the things that a lot of people said was, can you make sure that the box fits custom meeples, basically? I said a disclaimer in that post on the Wingspan group was that third-party accessories are third-party. They are separate from Stonemaier Games. I can't possibly design this box to accommodate every single third-party accessory. There are too many out there. I don't even know all the accessories that are out there. But I can plan it around the content we make, the accessories we make, and some of the maybe the most popular stuff, like the Wingspan stuff and the leaving room for other custom inserts if someone wanted to use another custom insert instead of the organizer that we include in that big box. Sally says, will there be more copies for retailers of Pie in the Sky? My local store hasn't been able to get it. Sally, yeah, I'm so glad you said that because we do have copies available of it and we would love to get it to your store. And it's been available with distributors for a couple months now. So that is a supply chain problem that I would love to fix. Could you either post in the comments here or email me with the name of your store so I could get in touch with them and make sure that they can get some copies? I would love to make sure that happens, but I need to know the name of the store so I can make that happen. Kenzo says, any thoughts for a new faction for Scythe? Maybe fan factions, but I won't be designing any more factions for Scythe. Chad says, did I advise Travis not to watch all the reviews? I did not. I kind of left that up to him. Perhaps I should have given him a little bit of advice about that. I have no idea myself what the reviews say. But I think almost as a designer, you have to experience it for the first time. You have to go through that process of either watching or not watching the reviews to see if it's for you, if that's something that you can bear. Even when someone loves your game, it can sometimes be tough to watch a review. It's nerve-wracking to do that. Patrick says, do I play the draft version of Terraforming Mars? Absolutely. Yeah, unless I'm teaching it. I love the draft version. And it doesn't, the draft version doesn't take too long for my taste. Although one of the reasons that Terraforming Mars doesn't get to my table all that often is that it is, for my group, often a 3 hour game instead of the sweet spot for one of our game nights is a 2 hour game. Let's see if I have any topics here. Great questions today so far. I really appreciate this question, especially since I'm on here at a weird time. The videos I did recently, this past Sunday, I talked about games without rounds. So a round is a construct in a game when all players kind of pause their turns and do one thing or maybe a series of things like upkeep, income, things like that together. And then they get back to normal turns. I prefer games, well, I prefer to design games that have one turn after another. You just play one turn after another until the end game is triggered, to keep that natural flow of the game. You don't add that artificial construct. Although there are plenty of games I love with rounds too, but my video this week was about games without rounds and why I love them. And also my video coming up this Sunday is about games with contracts or missions. This was a really fun one to do. I had a guest post, or I hosted a guest post by Elizabeth Hargrave, mostly about women in games, in the game industry, the game community. That post was last Thursday on the Stonemaier Games blog, if you're interested in checking that out. Got a lot of great slash interesting comments on that thread. A number of people, it was interesting. You'll see the comments. You'll see, it was just interesting to see how Elizabeth said, sometimes people say this thing, and here's why maybe that isn't the best thing to say, or that this is part of the problem. And then immediately in the comments below, people would say that exact thing, even though Elizabeth just explained why it's a problem, in a very kind, compassionate way as well. Elizabeth's tone, at least. What else? Megan and I played some Stardew Valley this past weekend, the co-op mode, and I posted a video about it yesterday. And it was really neat to see the number of people who love Stardew Valley and posted in on Facebook in particular, and on YouTube with their thoughts about Stardew Valley, their favorite mechanisms in it. We had a lot of fun with the 1 week of it that we played. What else did I play last week? I also played Marco Polo, The Voyages of Marco Polo. I'm kind of itching to play that one again. Tonight, I'll probably play Puerto Rico at game night because I haven't played that in like 8 years. And we played what? I always mispronounce this. Teotihuacan, the follow-up to Tzolk'in. I played that on Board Game Arena this past Friday. Yeah, I think that's all for my topic. So I'll just focus on questions until the AC repairman calls me. Justin from Room 51 says, "Am I into history at all?" He says that he loves history and love historical themed games. Would Stonemaier ever make a game that is based fully on something in history? I must admit, I love knowing history, or knowing aspects of history, so that we can apply them to games in escapist and alternate history ways. Like Scythe is an alternate history version of 1920s Europe. But I do like games with escapist themes, like Euphoria. Euphoria has an escapist theme. Viticulture is kind of loosely based on the real world. But yeah, Justin, I would say for games itself, games themselves, I'm more interested in escaping to alternate realities, alternate futures, alternate past, elements of speculative fiction, not science fiction, fantasy, than I am for historical themes. Especially since sometimes I think they end up simulating history instead of giving players the opportunity to create their own history, which is exactly actually what I did with Tapestry. I wanted to give players the opportunity to create their own civilization, their own unique history, rather than being limited to real people, real events, real places in the real world, in real world history. Kyle says, "For a new designer, what is the likelihood of getting someone like Ian O'Toole to do graphics for a game?" Ian sometimes watches these videos. He might chime in here. I would say for someone like Ian, he is probably booked for a very long time, and he's probably just not available for that. However, many artists are just—I mean, they just want to work on cool stuff, and if they get paid for it, and they like the person they're working with, and they like the project, I think many of them are just happy to work with anybody. I think maybe trust can be a little bit of an issue. Like if someone hears from Wizards of the Coast, they know they're going to get paid by Wizards of the Coast. They hear from Stomar, they know we're going to pay them. Whereas if they hear from someone who has no background at all, no history online, or very little history online as a game designer, game publisher, that type of thing, they might wonder, are you actually going to pay me? They might ask for a down payment at the very least. Also, Kyle, I should mention that designers rarely are actually in charge of the art. That's something that the publisher handles. If you are looking to design and self-publish a game, that's when you might handle the art. But if you're just designing a game, you don't need to look for an artist or handle the art. Let's see. Carrie has an interesting reply to Nick about a family version of Wingspan. She says, "Have you tried playing open-handed to make it more cooperative or collaborative?" And that's actually interesting that Carrie says that. Carrie, I always play Wingspan open-handed. I like to be able to look at my hand of bird cards. I don't like to feel like I'm hiding behind it when I'm playing the game. And there's so little that other players, almost nothing. Like I never look across the table to see what birds my opponent might play because it doesn't really impact me. Even their goals, I could look at their goals and try to get in the way of them getting that extra point, but that doesn't really matter to me either. It matters to me much more of how I'm optimizing my engine. So I love to play Wingspan open-handed with gulls and birds face up on the table. Adam says, "This may be a silly question, but when you play Scythe, do you play only the modular board at this point, or do you mix things up with the base game map?" Depends on who I'm playing with. If it's someone new to Psy, then maybe I'm teaching them, or they just haven't played a lot of the game. We'll play with a standard board. But it's been a while since I played Psy. I've been a while since I played anything with friends other than just Megan. And the last time we played, I was playing with actually my best friend and his son, who was around 7 at the time. And we definitely played with the standard board, not the modular board. But I do really enjoy the modular board. I hope you have fun with it. David says, have I ever maxed out or had anyone get maximum points for Pendulum? I think that would be very difficult to do, especially since the game is now constrained to 4 rounds. At one point, it could go a little bit longer than that. Megan did complete 2 of her tracks this past weekend. And maybe even actually technically 3. I'm not sure if she counted the legendary achievement track there. But no, I don't think we've ever seen someone max out all of the tracks. Connor says, did I see that Restoration Games is applying for the HeroQuest license? Are you a HeroQuest fan or fool? I would say pretty much all I know about HeroQuest is that awesome video online about someone who just goes crazy about how much they love HeroQuest, why it's the best game ever. But I've never played it. I don't actually know much about the mechanisms either, but it would be cool to see what Restoration Games does with it. I love what they did with Downforce. Well, that's actually one of my favorite games, so it would be cool to see what they do with it. Timotep says, have I played the Doge ship? I have not played that. No. Pete says, I mentioned the possibility of another viticulture expansion. The volume of the current box seems like it's at capacity. Any chance of a legendary box for viticulture? I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, it kind of depends on if we make an expansion and what the components are for it, if they can, how they might fit into the box. I wonder if we could even just include a new insert in the box that fits into the original box and that maybe organizes components in a way that lets slightly more tokens fit into it, maybe has a slightly better fit for some of the other components. Something I definitely would consider. I'm glad you asked about that, Pete. Christian says, have I played any Vital Lacerta games? What are my thoughts maybe also on production quality in relation to price? Production quality, at least for the versions I've played, are really, really beautiful. I don't know the price offhand of them, at least not the retail price. I typically see them on Kickstarter, at least the deluxe versions. The games of his that I played are Escape Plan, Kanban, and I always forget the third. There's a third game of his that I've played. Oh, Gallerist. And of those, Kanban is my favorite. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion about production quality or price, other than that I really like the quality of his games. He's probably a little bit heavier of a designer than what is my typical taste for games that I gravitate to. But I did appreciate in Escape Plan, there's one thing that he does in many of his games that I don't like, and it's giving players a lot of bonus actions that they can do on their turn. There are a couple reasons why I don't like that, but he doesn't do that in Escape Plan. So I'm wondering if maybe he's moving away from that a little bit. And I've heard on Mars, I think he doesn't do that on Mars either. I think everything that you can do is interfaced on the board and on your player mat. Todd says, how can you get Pendulum? He said, I tried to find it on your site for ordering and had no luck. Yeah, you can see on the Pendulum page for our website, it says the pre-order opens on August 5th, but today is only July 29th. Paul says, any updates on the Scythe rules release? Yes, we will be, you can pre-order the spiral-bound version of the Scythe complete rulebook on August 5th as well, along with Pendulum, or separately from Pendulum. Doug says, not sure if this was asked, when are pre-orders going live for Pendulum? That's August 5th. A lot of people think the same thing at the same time. Julian says, date for when I can show off the Tapestry expansion. Yes, I will mention this in our e-newsletter next week on August 5th. I will say that I'm going to start talking about it on August 12th. It's running pretty close to Pendulum, but I wanted to talk about one at a time. So I'll focus on Pendulum right now, and then on August 12th, I'll start talking about the Tapestry expansion. Marcelo says, what were the lessons learned from the level of production on Tapestry? Lessons learned. That's a good question. I don't know. I would say I'm probably still learning about that. I love the game that we produced. I'm really happy that we created a civilization game that has an epic feel on the table. And I think we found a pretty good price point. We could have priced that game higher if we wanted to. I think the main trouble that I have with it is, just based on the way that we sell to distributors and retailers, the result is a pretty high retail price, even though we could be selling it for a lot lower on our website. And I have started to discount it a little bit on our website because we don't need to sell it at $99 MSRP on our website. But I respect that retailers kind of need to do that based on the price that they buy it from distributors. Retailers typically buy it at like a 50 to 50, 48 to 50% discount from distributors. So that means that a retailer buys a Tapestry for roughly $50, and a retailer has to cover a lot of costs that we don't have to cover internally. They have to cover costs like, for running a business or running a brick and mortar store. So I wish my main wish for Tapestry isn't about the production values themselves. I think I like what we did for the production of Tapestry. But that the maybe the, we could have found a way to, on an ongoing basis, offer a lower MSRP. I think maybe $80 would have been awesome, but there's no way that we could have done that sustainably for Tapestry. It just costs too much to make. Let's see. Madison says, "Does Scythe have Easter eggs of my cats?" It does. Yeah, there's an encounter card that shows one or both of my cats. In the original art, it shows both of them, but the encounter card, it's either encounter or objective, one of the two. But the text box at the bottom blocks, I think, maybe one of the cats. But Walter and Biddy are on either in an objective or an encounter card inside. Darren says, "With the number of cards in Wingspan and each expansion, will it be hard to mix and match them, or is it expected to just add everything, making it hard to shuffle at all?" Yeah, we will start to say this in future expansions, including Oceania, which is we will start to recommend that people just choose two different decks and shuffle them together. That'll make it easier to shuffle. Because it'll be tough to shuffle, 400, 500 cards in the long run. One thing that I like to do is that I kind of keep all my cards shuffled all the time, and when I get out the box to play, I'll choose just a few stacks of cards and I'll shuffle them up again and just use those two stacks rather than trying to pull out all the cards and do that. But we are kind of recommending that you only use a couple decks. The only problem with that is that it does take a lot to sort out those cards at the end of each game. Especially with the icon showing the expansion being pretty small on the card. So I don't know how often people will actually do that. Some people have actually even mentioned that we include a card shuffler in the big box, but that's a mechanical device that kind of is a lot more difficult to produce than a box with an organizer in it. John says, "Have I played a Gaia Project yet?" Oh yeah, I played Gaia Project years ago. It's been a couple of years now. Although it has been a while since I played because I really prefer Terra Mystica more than Gaia Project. It's my preference in a number of different ways. So I played much more Terra Mystica than Gaia Project. Brian says, "When can we order Pendulum?" August 5th, Brian. Daniel says, "What's the status for Scythe on iOS?" As far as I know, I mean, all that I know about the digital versions of our games is what the developers tell me, which is the same thing that they tell you. The last I heard is that sometime in August, Scythe might be available on iOS, in the US, and that might also mean Sweden for you, Daniel. Adam says, "Do I think we may do another game at some point with art by Jakub Rozalski that's outside of the Scythe universe?" It's certainly possible, yeah. I would love to work with Jakub again in that way. Yeah. Aaron says he recently got Scythe and he's excited to play. Thanks for getting it. He says, "On a side note, I'm curious about your thoughts on Roads and Boats." I must admit I haven't played Roads and Boats, so I don't know. I need to play it though. I've heard good things. Brian says, "Will the Gen Con panels be live or pre-recorded?" I can't remember. I think they'll be live, yeah, or very close to live, or at least live for viewer. I actually don't know. MeepleSource is coordinating the whole thing. I am basically just showing up and participating in two panels on Friday. Sony says she just got The Crew in the mail. Any tips? My main tip is that I want The Crew too. I want to play The Crew. I've been waiting for my local retailer to get it back in stock. Let's see if they do have it back in stock now, because I've been wanting to play it, but I haven't played it yet. I don't know. Nathan says, "Are advanced copy reviewers of your games privy to MSRP? And if so, are they permitted to give their opinion on the price value of the game, even if they don't reveal the actual price?" I typically do not tell them the MSRP, no. But you're right, that would be an interesting thing for them to share. But I don't know. We always, I don't, we price our games below what we should price them. And that is also the case with Pendulum. I think we have a very reasonable price point for Pendulum. Jenny says, "What is Megan's favorite game?" Megan has a few favorites. Here are a few that I have listed for maybe a potential video someday about Megan's favorite games. She loves Cracks of Quedlinburg, Clank, Star Realms. Very good at Star Realms. Oh, looks like the guy is here. Hey, Megan, can you answer that real quick? Folks, this is the AC repairman, so I need to go answer that right now. I'm sorry, have a great day. I'll post this on YouTube for further questions. Take care. Bye. Gotta get the AC repaired.